It's KRCU's Going Public, and I'm your host, Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. And today in the studio, KRCU's Lindsay Grogean is joining me. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Marissa Ann.
So a couple weeks ago, you went to the Art Council's Red Light Night, where they hosted a lecture about Islamic beliefs and Islamic art, among other things, with speaker Dr. Tashin Khalid, a professor in the Department of Elementary, Early, and Special Education at Southeast, right?
Yes, it was.
And recently you sat down with him to talk more about the common misconceptions about his faith as well as his culture. What else can we expect to hear from this interview that I'm about to play?
In this interview, we'll be talking about common misconceptions of the Muslim faith. We'll be myth-busting those as well as his own personal experiences, and we'll have a crash course of the Muslim faith.
All right, this is KRCU's Lindsay Grogean's conversation with Dr. Khalid.
So Dr. Khalid, we'll start off talking about the Muslim faith. There are a lot of misconceptions in your faith, so we'll also talk about that as well and some of your own personal experiences. So go ahead and give us a crash course on the Muslim faith.
Muslim faith is, number one, believe in the God. So we all believe in God as one, that he's the creator, cherisher, provider of everything to us. God is one. God was never born, will never die. God has no relatives, no son, no daughter. That's a major belief that we have. And then we believe in prophets, that God sent prophet to help human beings. The common prophets are Prophet Noah, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses, Prophet Jacob, Prophet Isaac, Ishmael, and the last one is Prophet Muhammad. So that's these are different prophets. We also believe in books that several prophets brought with them. And books include Torah, Injil or Bible, Quran, and there was a book for Prophet Abraham, and there some other prophets had books that we do not know, that their names were not mentioned. And then believe in the Day of Judgment, the Day of Accountability. So if we do something good, we'll be rewarded, and if we do something bad here, we'll be punished. So it's the Day of Accountability of the hereafter. We also believe in angels. There were several angels. I don't know exactly the number, and it was never mentioned. But I would say thousands and thousands of angels, but some prominent angels are Gabriel, Michael, and those. Let's see. So these are common beliefs.
You mentioned in your talk the other day that you don't worship idols, and you can't get creators and creations mixed up.
That's right.
Could you kind of touch on that?
Creator is, the God is the creator. And God is something that we do not know. We have not seen, and we cannot even perceive who God is. Is a male, female? These are our perceptions, but God is way above all those things. He's the greatest. And anything that we, if we have people worship stones, idols, and those things. So we say, no, we do not worship. We only worship the God. And we believe Muhammad was his prophet. So we do not worship Muhammad. We follow Muhammad's teaching, but really we do not worship him.
I'd like to talk about the misconceptions a little bit, if you want
to
get into that.
Sure.
So let's start with how there's a misconception of killing innocents is a type of jihad. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
That's a very good question. So jihad is an Arabic word, and it means a struggle, and a struggle to do good deeds. So anything good we do and try to avoid. I mean, we are human beings, and we tend to go towards bad more than we go towards good. So if we try to avoid bad deeds and try to do good, that's jihad. That's like a personal level. And sometimes it's hard. Some of our friends and those people say, okay, let's do something and nasty or mean, or peer pressure can make us do the bad deeds. But if we try to be firm and try avoid bad deeds, bad people, bad influence, peer pressure, then we try to do good deeds, and that's jihad. In protecting ourselves, our family, if somebody is attacking us and try to harm us, if we protect ourselves, that's also part of kind of jihad. So jihad could be internal, could be external, that we write if we see somebody, people are doing something bad, and we on the radio we talk about it, and in the paper we write about it. It's all jihad, different kinds of jihad. And again, if somebody fights, you know, that's what the Quran says, that if we go and fight for the cause of Allah, for the sake of Allah, and so people who are making problems in the world, you protect the world from them, this is also jihad. But killing an innocent person or people, that's not really jihad. That's just killing. And killing is not allowed in Islam. Killing like that, that somebody is blow themselves up and then kill themselves and kill 10, 15, 20 other people, that's not jihad. Or sometimes they just start shooting at people. That's not jihad. That's against the jihad, the spirit of jihad. And it's against Islam. Killing anybody without a reason, that's against Islam. It's prohibited in the Quran. And killing oneself, like blowing themselves up, that's also against Islamic teaching. Prophet Muhammad said, I think I mentioned that in my presentation the other day, that they will never be going to the paradise if they kill themselves like that. And the reason is, I mean, killing any innocent person is because there's a God-given life, and we have no right to kill without a reason.
There's a misconception that the Quran supports violence.
Quran, yeah, I have heard this, and I have heard from some people and on the radio talk shows, and I wonder if they have ever studied the Quran. So they do not know what is in the Quran. They never read. They heard from somebody, and they just repeated their word without thinking. So no, it's definitely not true. The Quran says that you do not kill a person without any reason. And when they talk about the characteristic of believers, and the Quran, it says that's one of the characteristics, they do not kill anybody without any reason. And the reason is, for example, somebody committed a crime, and the court of law said, yes, they should be punished this way. So yes, then they will be killed, they will be hanged, or whatever the court decides. But that's the court's decision, right? So capital punishment. If I decide without a reason, I say, okay, that person is bad, so I need to go and kill. No, that's against Islamic teaching, and then that's against what the Quran teaches us.
So another misconception is that moderate Muslims are good and extreme Muslims are bad.
The word Islam means peace, and so a Muslim should be a peaceful person. So if a moderate is peaceful, an extreme person should be extremely peaceful. It should not be violent. Otherwise, if violence is against Islam, how can an extremist Muslim be a violent? So it should be more towards peacefulness, not the violence. Violence goes the other direction, wrong direction. So now, I mean, that's another big misconception, that moderate Muslims are good and extremist Muslims should be better than moderate Muslim in peacefulness, tolerance, justice, equality, all those characteristics. They should be better than moderates. There was a caliph, his name was Abu Bakr, and there's another guy here, his name is Abu Bakr too, the chief of AIS. You know, I call it anti-Islamic state. I don't call it Islamic. They don't do anything which is Islamic. They do everything which is anti-Islamic. So I call him anti-Islamic movement or state. So that person who was an extremist Muslim, it must have been 1300 years ago, he was very extremist, and his job was to take care of people. He was a caliph, and he was taking care of the huge area. But in the city where he lived, he used to walk around at night to see how people were doing. And if somebody needed help, he would go and help. And, I mean, he would go and clean the house, and he would cook their food, and whatever way he could. That was. And the caliph after him was also like that. He did exactly the same way. The second caliph was Umar, and he was another very extremist Muslim. And his job was if he found somebody who was hungry, he would go back and take some ration and just carry it to that person. wait that somebody will show up and then they will send it with them. No, so this is my job. Somebody is hungry, so I need to give them food right now, not waiting until the next morning. So that was, I mean, that's their character. So they were extremists, and that's what we have learned from that. If you are extremist, you should be more helpful to the other person. You can say that the other person comes before myself. That's the extremist Muslim's character. And the way we call extremist Muslim that you hear from politicians, politicians and other TV and radio, no, they are really not doing anything Islamic. They're doing anti-Islamic. So I don't know why they call him extremist. They can call him extremist anti-Muslim. Yeah, that's true. But not extremist Muslims.
Are you disappointed in that? That people are referring to them as Islamic State?
That's right. Uh-huh. I was actually... if I talk about Islamic State, I think I will not be talking about Islam. I'll be talking about politics. And a lot of things happen in politics that have nothing to do with religion. So Islamic State and the way they started and what they are doing is really nothing Islamic except their name. Beyond their name, there's no Islam in Islamic State. It's all anti-Islam.
After the break, we'll hear more from Lindsay Grojean's conversation with Dr. Khalid. That coming up here on KRCU.